Today's Perek in Tanakh is Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf Beit. Yesterday we witnessed the unfortunate seeds of destruction that were to come, where David HaMelech escapes, and he escapes in such desperation that he makes moves that are bound to be disasters. And he ends up escaping by the skin of his teeth. Because what he does, his first mistake, is that he goes to Nov. Now, apparently he was going to Nov. I mean, what in the world would he go to Nov for, since it's not in the right direction anyway? Why go to Nov if his intent is ultimately to go to Achish?
Where was he coming from?
He was running away from Shaul. They were in Givat Shaul.
So yes, he was running.
Why would he go to Nov? No.
Location of Givat Shaul?
Yeah, we have. It's right here where King Hussein's summer castle is.
Not far from Ramot.
We're near what they call Ramat Shlomo, that area, or Shuafat, right? In the middle of Shuafat now. Shuafat.
And Ramot, no, we are coming.
There's no need to go through. Ramot is where Nov was. There's no need to go to Ramot in order to get to Achish. I mean, you would start going already south. You would go southwest instead of going straight across. You have to go all the way back up again. You go down and up. I mean, he was going specifically to Nov. And so apparently he was looking for some type of spiritual solace. And that's, we're going to see that he actually asked the Urim Batumim. We saw that there was some kind of involvement in Urim Batumim because he mentioned Achar HaEfod. Mm-hmm. But this Achar HaEfod is going to end up becoming a disaster because it means that David himself benefited from the Urim Batumim. So the last time he ran away to Shmuel, right now he's not going to run away to Shmuel again. We've already tried that. But he's still looking for some guide. He's not willing to simply run out and do what he's running away. And running away, he's actually giving up, in a sense. To go to Achish is giving up. It's more kedai for me to give up on this and see what happens than to create a machlokas b'shul. That's apparently his attitude. And that's exactly what we saw was the devastating opening pasuk. He gets up and leaves, and Yonatan goes back to the city, which means that this was a complete split, so complete that it ended up in the ultimate disaster, which looked like a small thing at the time, at not being melaveh David, because they ended up splitting. That not being melaveh him caused the destruction of Nov Yerachonim, which bloodied David's life, destroyed Yonatan and the whole family of Shaul and so on, and actually closes the entire story from the very beginning, which was the coming of Shmuel to Eli, where there was the curse that was on Eli that was created by Shmuel. After David goes to Shmuel, the coming to Nov is horrific because it's the reason that the final story of Eli happens, as we're going to see. Remember that he was the one that had to tell Eli beginning and end. The beginning is today, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The end, now it turns out that the end is also achieved through the hands of Shmuel. By being Mosheh David and setting this whole thing in motion. So the closure over here is horrific. So they split yesterday. David makes the mistake of going to Nov, which implicates Nov in Shaul's mind with the rebellion. And he sees Doeg there. And later on he admits the moment he saw him there, he realized this is a disaster. Because that was the guy. David realized this is horrible. It was too late to do anything. And not only that, he gets to a fight with Doeg, which was the worst possible thing, because he went ahead and he gave a hurrah about the way that they were handling the lechem apani. And he said, I don't understand, why was it made on Shabbos? It's not Doche Shabbos, that's the whole machlokes about whether the tanur is mekadesh. The lechem is mekadesh. They come and they tell Doeg, who was the Av of Sanhedrin, that it shouldn't have been done today. He says, who just walked in here, paskening against me? And it turns out to be David.
Troublemaker,
the old troublemaker. He's going to get David now. So the whole thing has many, many interrelated levels. Of course, the most striking one is the fact that the Lechem Aponim represents Malchus Yisrael. The Shulchan is Shulchan Melachim. So what happens to David, and that's why it comes from Beit Lechem, obviously. So what happens to David is a function of bread. which is why Shavuos, birth of David, you look to plant chitin, if as Achitofel points out in the end. Just stick with it.
This
is the Gemara. This is the Gemara. Yeah. Okay, but in any event, getting back to the story. So we just saw that he went to Achish, which was a terrible mistake, because Goliath's brother wasn't too much in favor of having David around. And he also had gone to Nov, but not only that. What we saw yesterday was the depths to which David had to fall in running away. I mean, you can't get lower than that. I mean, he literally had to act like a nut. He's sitting there slobbering over this is the Melech Yisrael, slobbering over his beard, writing these ridiculous things on walls, so to a point where he's so meaningless that Achish would just get him out of here. I don't want to see him. There was no interest in him even. He's not even an object of derision. He's like a piece of garbage. So Mamela, we are great. He can get a job with Hollywood, but the truth is that Chazal say that was a specific tefillah. It was mispowel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give him insanity. Nobody could have feigned it well enough to have gotten by. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give it to him. Yeah. So then that means that we have watched David at his lowest yesterday, and indeed the opening pasuk of today's perek implies that. Because when did Yehuda fall as low as he could possibly fall? When he went to Adullam. That was the absolute vayered mi'achav. Nobody is interested in Yehuda anymore. He's blown everything. He leaves town, escapes from his family, and he goes to Adullam, where he gets into business with the goy. So vayelech David misham vayimaleit el marat Adullam, of all places. And so in other words, he understands that this is Malchus Yehuda at its lowest. And Lamaisa, he knows that Yehuda ultimately was rebuilt. Starting there, that was as low as he fell. Vayishmu echav, v'cho beit aviv, vayirdu alav shama. Now, obviously, his family knows that they're in big trouble, because it's what all of these dictators do, is they keep your family hostage for the behavior of the Moreid. Now, David is a Moreid, they need to get out of town fast, because Shaul, of course, has not only not made them Chofshi b'Yisrael, they're now going to be Bnei Aruva. So they have to run, they have to escape, and they go to him. And as an expression of how low he had fallen, which is what happened to Yehuda, he had to go into, sent a message. Oh. He had to go into business with a goy. David HaMelech ends up becoming king, all right, Robin Hood, over bandits and escapees from jail. And this is now David HaMelech, Robin Hood. Vayitkapsu elav kol ish matzok, v'chol ish ashelo nosheh, v'chol ish mar nefesh. So now what is his life? Coming down from the heights of Malchus Yisrael with everybody coming out to greet him, and he's the famous one in the land, Vayikar David. I mean, he's the most famous, the most precious person in the country. So who is he now attached to? People that are running away from debtor prison. People who are miserable. Prince of Thieves. This is pretty sad. This is very, very tough. Your miklat, I mean, Nov, that's what he's obviously looking for, some sense of a place to hide, but it's not going to help him. What's in your miklat for Memorial Gemal?
Matzok.
It is Mitzukah. Everyone in Mitzukah that's been crushed, right? Everybody in that status is coming to him. And that's the sarut that he achieves. Vayuimo karbameot ish, and this, of course, is the abameot ish who were with Esav. So that's the admoni. And just like the abameot, this was the zechus. As a matter of fact, according to Medrash, those abameot ish, they were bishtamet for Esav. So the zechus was that the gilgal of those people were the 400 men that were mori nefesh and escapees. But they came actually to David, the admoni, from the koach of Esav. And the truth is that, of course, this is the main idea of David, that the malchus has to, and Avihuda, the malchus is achieved from the absolute lowest of the low and grows gradually. And this is the reason that the entire history of David is so strange and so built around misbehaviors, people that have no shaykhs to Klal Yisrael. Because the nature of integrated Malchus, this is what confused Shmuel when he saw him. He was shocked. Vuad Moni. He was shocked at the drives that he saw in him. So that it's not surprising at all that in just as humanity itself has to evolve from things that are very low, it's the simplest protoplasm, so too does the Malchus need to take within it the lowest of the elements of humanity and build them and take that which is Yetzer and turn it into something which is beautiful.
Is that why it's Ma'arat?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's a very good deal. Nice.
As it happens, I mean, Abulam is okay.
Yeah.
Where was that?
It would make sense. I mean, the whole story has to do with caves from this point until he comes out of the cave, until he comes into the light. So, yeah, so it makes a lot of sense. Vayeler David Misham Mitzpe Moav. And so he goes back to his dirty roots. His earliest roots is Moab. And the Medrash says, why the heck would he go to Moab? Precisely because he comes from Ruth. And he figured that they would appreciate the fact that he's coming back to them. So that he indeed is one of their own. Exactly. So they'll protect him.
Well, Mitzpeh is to look out.
No, he's actually in Moab. Vayomer el melech Moab. Yetzena avivi imi itchem, do me a favor, I'm going to be in a lot of danger. Let my father and mother stay with you. Ad asher eda ma yaaseh li Elohim, until I find out what is going to happen to me. Vayanchem et pnei melech Moab. And so he now leaves them over to the great mercies of the king of Moab, who ends up murdering all of them, as we'll see. And Vayeshu imo ko yume hayot David b'mtsuda. And so they stay with him so long as David is in his desert fortress. So he basically has now hid himself out with his 400 men. And he becomes, as we'll see, gradually, and this is what Malchut is really meant to be, gradually the protector of the poor. Then he becomes the protector of all of the Ro'im and the Midbar. And he attempts slowly now to respond on each level. We'll see, he attacks Amalek as if he were a melech. He assumes that everybody supports him, which is the story of Avigail to come. So this is a gradual development of Malchut, which grows out of these absurd seeds. Gad Hanavi el David. And so David actually gets a tzivui of a navi. You do not have a right to run away. Lo teishev b'metzuda, lechu bat alacha eretz Yehuda. You're going to have to face this head on. You cannot go to areas outside of Eretz Yisrael and think that that's going to protect. You're meant to be in Eretz Yehuda. Whatever happens, happens. But this is not the solution. To be yimalit al nafshecha. Vayelar David vayavo ya'ar charet. And so he comes to a place which Chazal says is called charet, is a remnant to cheres. And it's as dry as a bone. It's a completely desiccated area, which is useless, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him over the honey of the world. And in that we learn, kol matzok, we say, because of l'alokim mitzuke aretz. And that matzok is a reference to Talmidei Chachamim. So all of those who no longer could tolerate the leadership of Doeg, and we'll see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused Doeg to forget all of his Torah, so that gradually everybody left him. And this was part of the tefillah of David that appears in Tehillim. And so he gathered around him Talmidei Chachamim who refused to go along with the institutions. Vayishma Shaul ki noda David va'anashav asher ito. And this is why he now recognizes that David is being careful to set up noda, meaning that he's very aware, we would say today, muda. He's very aware of his dangers and is taking steps to protect himself, which means he now represents a threat. And therefore, he sits back, he's being Yoshev Begiva, Tachat Ha'eshel B'Rama, and as the Medrash points out, there ain't no connection between Rama and Giva. What in the world is this supposed to mean? Which Ashel B'Rama? And therefore, the Medrash says the Eshel B'Rama means the Zechut of the one who is Yoshev B'Rama, like an Eshel, and that's Shmuel. And because of the tefillahs of Shmuel, mi garam l'Shaul, is the way Chazal put it, that he should be Yoshev now in Giva for these 2 years, only tefillator shel Shmuel b'Rama. So because of his commitment for Shaul, he's the one Shmuel, who not only suffered the transition, but was gorim all of the problems of the transition, starting, as we saw, with that going back publicly with Shaul that should never have been done, with his unwillingness to let go and being mit'abel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry about. How long are you going to be so romantic? Accept reality. And here he keeps davening for Shaul and keeps him around long enough to cause such horrific disasters that in a sense they can all be laid at Shmuel's doorstep. Now listen here. You know, I mean, this basically boils down to Yehuda attempting to usurp the Malchus from Binyamin. I suppose you're quiet because you're convinced that when that Ben Yishai jerk becomes king, he's going to be giving all of you lots of money. I guess that's what you think, huh? Gam lekuchem yitein Ben Yishai sadot uchramim. Oh, yes. Lekuchem yasim sarei alafim v'sarei meot. I mean, you are in line for major cabinet positions. He's certainly going to be keeping all of you on. But what are their explanation is for this insane plot that you've all joined? Kikshartem kuchem alai. My own son is going over to the other side. Made a breach with Ben Yishai. And again, this is Abne Kvodi Lechlima Ben Yishai, Ben Yishai, Ben Yishai. I don't have any name. Nobody makes themselves sick over me. No, what do we care about him? Nobody just maybe whispers into my ear. That I should be in a position where my own son takes a servant boy and makes him now someone who stands in ambush for me. And this is tolerable to you. And nobody speaks. It's outrageous, of course. Where do we find exactly this story? Achashverosh and Haman. So Achashver, and that's Esther, who is Shaul's great-great-granddaughter. So the madness that affects Shaul here, the paranoia, is exactly what Achashverosh is. Because I'll say, why is he reading the Sefer HaZichronot? Because nobody's telling him what's going on. Something's going on. Why is nobody? Maybe somebody should have been rewarded. And with Kramim and Sadot. And that's why they're being quiet here. So, okay, so then he also waits to hear, and indeed, Doeg Adomi sees his big moment now. Vayan Doeg Adomi v'hu nitzav al avdei Shaul v'yomar. So out comes Doeg Adomi, who is, of course, the one who is in charge of all of the avadim of Shaul, is the Rosh Beit Din, and he says, well, I don't know exactly what to tell you about your son, but I did see something very significant. Ra'iti et Ben Yishai ba Nove. I saw the Ben Yishai kid come to Nov, El Achimelech ben Achituv. And not only that, I saw Achimelech consult the Ephod. So he asked Chosh and Mishpat for him. Only a king can do that. Which of course is not true. The halacha is that anyone shat tzibur tzorech lo can do that. But he presents it, and because I'll say that he became an Zokin Mamre with this. Because all of Sanhedrin said to him, the din is that anyone Shatzibur Tzerechloi has a right to ask. And he said, no, that's not true. And he paskind, Allah Lamaisa, that you're a mered b'malchus if you go ahead and you ask at the Urim V'tumim. V'tzeidanatano, not only that, he gave him food, and he gave him the cherev of Goliath HaPlishti Natanlo as a sign of his great victory, undoubtedly, as the king. Vayishlach HaMelech L'krot Achimelech Ben Achituv HaKohen. And so the king says to Achimelech, I want to see you and your entire family here today. Ve'tko Beit Aviv HaKohanim Asher Banov Vayavo Cholam El HaMelech Vayomer Shaul Shmara Ben Achituv. Remember, Hineni Adoni, what's the problem? Yeah, Ben Achituv. Vayomer Elav Shaul. Look, I mean, just explain. I know what's going on, but lama kashar to me, like, why? Why? Why throw your lot in with you and Ben Yishai together? As to conspire against me, betitchalo lechem v'cherev v'sha'olo be'elohim. And not only that, you treated him as a king, as Doeg has told us, that only a king has a right to ask. Lakuma elai la'orev kayom hazeh. Now you've made him lie in ambush for me because of you. What? I'm supposed to know I mean, who would I be mechabed if not David? He's your most trusted servant, your own son-in-law, the one who does everything that you command, the most honored of your home. And what, ayom achiloti l'sholom Elohim? Chalili, what are you saying? Like, this is the first time that I've asked for him with the Chosh and Mishpat. I mean, this is the halach I always would do that. And nothing to do with this running away from you. Al yaseim ha-melech b'avdo davar. Don't attribute to me any type of desire to go against the melech. B'chol beit avi, which will affect the entire family. Ki lo yadav decha b'chol zot davar katan ha-gadol. I knew nothing about this. Oh, says the melech. So, by your own admission, you have been using the ephod to ask for David? So then you admit then that you've been moreed all along. You're dead. So he tells the ones, his runners that he has with him, because I'll say this refers to the runners, as we'll see later, as Amasa and Avner, which is, so it must mean that he told them, Sobu v'amitu kohane Adonai. Turn and murder the Kohanim, kigam yadamim David, there with David too. They all knew that he was running away. They never came to tell me anything. They tainted that Doeg was a Zakin Mamre, that the entire Beis Din disagrees with him, that Sanhedrin holds that David had every right to be Shoel. There's no basis whatsoever that Achimelech is a Moreg B'Malchut. And so the king turns to Doeg and says, Doeg, you are now a fish. Because I'll say, you're caught on your own petard, as they say. So you're the one who says that they're supposed to be killed. Take care of it. So vatau for Gabagoni.
They refused. And that's not called Mor Malachus?
No. We learn out from over here that they were derish, that the kol asher yamra et picha, but not pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, you're not supposed to listen to a melech when he's telling you neged to go against neged, and that you all have to agree to. Wow. So if you hold that it's neged halacha, so then ain't a chinami. So you can only turn to Doeg, who's the only one who holds it, that's halacha. And after all, you are the one who paskined, so therefore you are the one who should carry out the din. So this is the remez calling him a Doeg. You have just been fished in by your own mouth, right? So throughout this part of the story, he's called the fish. So you already, the Medrash says, look, you already started murdering them with Lashon Hara. And this is, of course, where we learn out that Mesaper Lashon Hara kills everybody. Because he ends up being killed. Shaul ends up being killed. The people that he said it about ends up being killed. All around this story. So that, since you've already begun with murder, why not finish it up, you know? So, sovata. After all, you should finish the job. So this Doeg Adomi personally murdered all 85 of the family. And we'll see that he did a lot more than that. But that's the beginning. And so, not only that, but he's the one who ends up with the most insane psak of all, as we'll see, in which he's matir now, the wife of David, to be given to Palti ben Laish. Why? Because he says, since there's a din of Misa, once there's a din of Misa, he has no domim, so he's dead. If he's dead, he's not married. If he's not married, let somebody else marry his wife. So in other words, he's matir gilui arayas and shvichas domim. We'll get to this story. So he says, there's no issue to David. What's the problem? So both are Arayot and Ishvichut Damim. So in the end, yeah, thank God Palti ben Laish was very careful with Michal and never slept with her. And that's the famous story of Palti ben Laish, but which goes back to the birth of David, because that's the godless of Boaz, that he slept in a much more enticing fashion with Ruth, and nonetheless didn't sleep with her, as opposed to Palti ben Laish, who had a sword that he put between them, and so on. We'll see. But again, there's so many threads that are being tied together here with these stories that it's just it's astonishing.
Don't I do this alone?
Alone. Chazal said, imagine the strength of this man, that he was able to do this alone.
And they just let it happen.
They're sitting there in front of the army, I guess, you know. And not only that, Veit Nov Ir HaKohanim Hikar Lefi Cherev, note the words which are word for word the Tzivui of Amalek. Me'ish v'ad isha, me'olel v'ad yonek, v'shor v'chamor v'set lefi cherev. This is the Sha'ul who was being... Exactly. This was the Sha'ul who was being merachim on the Amalekites. After all, Nachal Eitan, and this is the Sha'ul who now takes the greatest, the Kedoshim of Yisrael, and he's the one that treats them the way he was supposed to treat Amalek. The irony of it, the pain of it, the insanity of it. It's almost impossible to miss this. Anyone who reads this must just stand up in horror when he gets to this piece. You know, you hardly need the Medrash to bring it out. Anyone who has any sense for the literature would be sitting shocked. One child escaped, and his name was Eviatar, and Eviatar ran to join David's forces, and it was because one child was saved in the city of Nov that one child escapes the disaster that later on affects David's children, and his entire family is wiped out, except for one child. Says the Gemara, if it hadn't been that Eviatar had escaped from Nov, which was David's responsibility, he should never have gone there, because he should have imagined what might have come out. So if there hadn't been one escapee from there, there would have been zero escapees. His entire Zera would have been called.
From Melech Moab, we come?
No. Yeah, it's worse than that. It is. The first step is Melech Moab, in which one of his children escaped to, of all crazy places, Nachash Melech Ammon, who now protects him.
Wow.
So this is, we'll see later on, that when David says, Ki Asayim Adi Chesed, because I'll say that's the Chesed that he refers to the son of Nachash. Anyway, but getting back to the story. So, Vayaged Eviatar LeDavid, Eviatar comes and tells David what happened. Ki arak she'ul et kohanei Adonai. Vayomer David LeEviatar, I knew it. Yadati v'ayomer, I saw that, mamzer. Ki sham doyeg do'eg, meaning Adoni. Ki aged yagid l'shol, I knew he was going to do something like that. Anochi saboti b'chol nefesh beit avich, it's my fault. I take responsibility on myself, and I say right now, I swear I'm going to take care of you forever. Shuva caused. Siba. I became the Siba to the entire... I was misovev. Ultimate. I'm the ultimate cause. Back to this. Yeah. So Shuva iti, stay with me. This is, again, the exact opposite of Sha'ul. The taking responsibility for even the most far-fetched possibilities that could have come out is so much the nature of Yehuda and Hidah and the sense of the willingness to go back, not just to say what is. Remember when Yehuda was Moda, he didn't say, she's right, I got her pregnant. He says, she's right, more right than I am, because this all was wrong from the beginning. She really was supposed to be Mitya Bemis with Sheila. He talks out the whole thing. You have to talk out the whole thing for him. She's saying, yeah, you made me pregnant. So he could have said, it's true. No. It's the whole thing. I now see how this whole thing came about. David sees instantly how the whole thing came about. Mamish, like Yehuda, in that matzav. That all came from Adulam. And it was in that matzav, in Adulam, that the Hodav Yehuda brought him back. And it's exactly what happens over here. Is that David takes full responsibility. And he says, Ki asher yivakesh et nafshi, yivakesh et nafshecha. Person chasing you, me, is exactly the same. The same concern I have for myself, I commit to you. And anybody who wants to kill either of us, we have the same exact response. Or, yivakeshet nafshi, the other peers that Rashi offers, is yivakeshet nafshi for love. Because that's nefesh Yonatan, right? So it's called nefesh. So anybody now who loves me has to love you. Anyone who cares about me has to care about you. It's going to be so clear that we are one soul. So this is like the ultimate expression of responsibility. I see you as part of myself. Ki mishmeret ata imadi. You are like a precious mishmar that I will keep with you, with me, forever.
It seems like we're at that Sha'ul stage right now today where all the leadership in Israel is always vicious about not assuming responsibility. It always has to be someone else. It's so strong and extreme. It's like, it's as if it's a comedy. I mean.